Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our Red Tent Radio. We believe every woman has a story, and our mission is for every woman's story to be heard. And on this show, we are talking about the divine birth. It's also called parthenogenesis, or woman's ability to self-conceive, to conceive without aid of sperm or a male partner. This is a really juicy, interesting topic, and thoughts around what that means for women and woman's power is immense. So before we go into that, I'm going to introduce my guest, Carrie Ryan, who has the amazing blog, Goddess of Sacred Sex, and she's an educator in the woman's mysteries, especially the woman's sexual mysteries. She's amazing. Carrie, will you introduce yourself?
Hi, Aurora, and yes, thank you for having me on again. Yes, I am a woman in my menopausal years, and I live in Australia, in northern New South Wales, and I am living a life of sharing my knowledge and wisdom with women around sexuality and the goddess, bringing in the energies once more of the divine feminine and asking women to remember themselves as sacred by referencing the past and their sexual energies and how it was perceived in the past and how it can again be known in the present, and the power of their sexuality to inform their lives. Mm-hmm. So, yes, today we're speaking about a juicy subject of parthenogenesis, or divine birth, or virgin birth.
Great.
What would we start with today?
Oh, Carrie, I was just about to say that you and I did a show a couple months ago, maybe a little longer than that, on the sacred whore. Who is she? The priestesses of sacred sexuality and Eros, Gamos, and practices from ancient times in which women's sexuality was honored and seen as a portal to God. And we had many women listen to that, and men. We had so many listeners on that show. So I'm really excited about this show. And for us to first start on what is parthenogenesis, one? But before we even get into that, why is it important for women to know their power of their womb space? I guess that sounds silly, but honestly, when we bring it back to where women are at right now, and I do bring men in a lot too, because they are a part of this as well, but women have become so detached from their bodies and so detached from their body's wisdom, let alone their magical body wisdom, like parthenogenesis, like the virgin birth, like sacred sexuality and spiritual sexuality, like the menstrual blood mysteries. These are all things I educate and you also educate on as well. And I know that in my life, that by cultivating these tools of understanding how powerful my body is and how powerful my womb is, it has given me so much empowerment, and it has helped me with my voice, and it has helped me in my relationships with men, and it has helped me in guiding my sex, and it helps me believe that my body can naturally give birth, and it has helped me in these very immense ways that are just essential to being a woman, but also is essential to our personal spirituality.
Absolutely, Aurora. I could not agree more, and I think the question that you asked there at the beginning of why is it important for women to be in touch with their bodies is a huge question, and one that all women should begin to think about. And, you know, my immediate response to that would be that our bodies have an innate wisdom that doesn't need us to bring our minds to it to understand. I mean, the cycle, we are cyclic beings, women who cycle with their menstrual cycles in alignment with the cycles of the moon and the cycles of the seasons. We are cycles within cycles. And all of this happens within our bodies without our conscious need to control it. And I think that is the biggest focus around where this wisdom lies, is that it comes from within us. It doesn't need us to reference anything outside of ourselves. So when we get out of our heads and we move into our bodies, there is a natural ability here to function at a level that aligns us not only with Goddess, but with the earth and the cyclical seasons. And so this wisdom is natural. Our wombs bring forth life, and that happens totally separate from any control that we have. A seed becomes fertilized, and a natural process takes place, and creation of new life comes from within us. And I mean, how amazing is that one simple fact, that most women on the planet are able to give birth to a new life? And so, you know, here we are talking about bringing forth new life from an act that seems to be, by all understanding, something that happened anciently that was quite natural, if I can use that word. So let's explore that a little bit more as we discuss today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I want to bring up what this means for men as well. I know that Dan Patois, and I hope I'm saying that right, he wrote an article on the parthenogenesis, woman's ability to self-conceive, and he even wrote, you know, I mean, obviously he's a male author speaking on behalf of all men and women, but there was a little bit of a hesitation on the side of men. It's like, wait, if women can conceive on their own, well, what about us? And so we better not talk about it, because then what about men? And to me, I think it's very silly to not express woman's full power and her womb's full power because of an insecurity that men may not be needed. I mean, I feel that if a man and a woman make love to have a baby, and that's what our body does naturally, of course men are needed. But we have to also recognize how powerful the womb space really is. And that is something that you, Carrie, and I have spoke about, because it is the power of the womb space that is, again, connected to the cycles and the rhythms, but also guides the sexuality. It is ability, and it is that portal, that transportation vessel that allows us to go between the worlds. It is a priestess. Her power source is her womb and in her belly. And I believe that if men understood how powerful the womb really is, that yes, it could even conceive on its own, if a woman is a high priestess or an initiate, a woman who's able to go between the worlds and able to bring spirit down to conceive, that he can also know that he must honor her. Because we live in a time right now in which the way men and women are having sex and it's not always in the utmost respect. They say that 1 in 3 women are raped nowadays. And I feel that if we can all embrace woman's womb power, then we can start realigning the way that we are making love, and we can start creating more harmony. And we, men and women, will create equality. We will create the harmony with each other. I think that's another thing, this idea that promoting priestess work, goddess work, women's empowerment, so that women are now going to be seen as above men or something like that, like we're going to take over. And the point of the matter is that right now we are at a space in which it's so not just male dominant, but a corrupted male dominant. So we're like bringing women up to create a new balance, a new harmony, and for everyone to understand how powerful the womb actually is.
Yeah, absolutely, Aurora. And I think it is, as educators, both you and I, we need to educate men around this subject matter as well. And that is what the these talks and the sharing of this information is about. I don't think that women's empowerment at all, well, I know women's empowerment is not here at the defilement of the male aspect in this at all. I believe with women there is not the ego space that needs to be better than or sit above. I mean, sure, there is out there. There is a big feminist movement as well which wants to make the feminine stronger or better than the masculine, but generally I think that there is the harmony that comes from a joining of the two energies to be equal so that we can be in alignment with each other around creating a more happy space, a more aligned space where the two of us hold power together and in alignment with each other. That's, I think, where all of us would like to be.
Yep, absolutely. So I would love to ask you more about parthenogenesis. And I read that partheno is the Latin term, I think, of virgin origin. It means of virgin origin. And you sent me an audio on Marguerite Rigoglioso. Is that her? Can you pronounce your name again?
Marguerite Rigoglioso, I think her name is. And yes, she's written this wonderful book. And that's where a lot of this information is going to come from today. So we'll speak about that, yes?
Yes. No, and I wanted to reference that I was listening to her audio and her descriptions of parthenogenesis. And then we also looked at Den Poitras, and I was also looking at something called the Magma Manuscript. These are all different channelings. Most of them are channelings or researching on the divine birth, the virgin birth. And Marguerite, as well as the Magdalene Manuscript, spoke a lot about the priestess being the one who is able to have this divine birth, is able to do that. Poitras, he went into shamanic type practices, but whatever it is, it would have to be a type of woman who's able to go between the worlds. They say the priestess is the embodiment of earth and sky. She is holding, you know, the portal for the earth body, connecting to the body, but she's the keeper as it goes between states. So I'd love to hear your take on your thoughts on parthenogenesis and anything that came up for you as you were learning about it.
Okay, well, I think what Marguerite refers to, in the sense it covers for me the fact that these priestesses were actually shamans. They were performing shamanic acts where they were moving between the realms, the higher realms and the earthly realms, in whether they be trance states or not, but they were accessing really high-level energetic vibrations, and that they themselves were holy and pure women who were born and perhaps raised within lineages of priestess women to actually perform these acts from a very early age. And so they were celibate. They were not practicing any sex at all, not that they were asexual or not sexual beings, but that they were kept specifically pure to perform these high-level acts. And they were engaging with the divine realm to bring in divine beings, something that was conceived to be higher than the normal human form. And so these divine beings were often brought through to be either the gods and goddesses or the kings, other avatars. She used the word avatar quite a lot, and not in the sense of how we play online avatar games today, but avatars meaning to change consciousness on the planet at various times throughout our history. And they were significant in the sense that this parthenogenic birth, or these high divine virgin births, were specifically interested in bringing through these avatar beings that were seeded here to change consciousness and to do specific tasks on the planet. So, you know, far from everybody being born of divine birth, I mean, regular birth has been happening, and the male is needed to seed regular, birth onto the planet. These were specific purposes, specific priestesses for specific high purposes. So that's my understanding of the role of the priestess in that. But, these women were also, these priestess women or shamanic women were also often born of divine birth themselves. And we can reference that in the sense of the mother of Christ, the one that we all know the most of, Mary, mother of Christ, who was said to have been of divine birth herself, as was her mother, also of divine birth. And my other readings around this subject matter talk about these two women and Jesus Christ himself, Yeshua, being a member of the Essenes. And the Essenes were a race that were around at the time of Christ. But they weren't a race. They were a religious, spiritual group of people or organization that came together specifically to practice very pure rites that would elevate their consciousness and their physical bodies to very high levels to receive information and knowledge that was off-planetary. It came, again, through channeled wisdom knowledge of the Brotherhood or Brotherhood, the beings that were bringing through high-level information. And that's where Mary and also Mary Magdalene were said to have been born of virgin birth. And they all belong to a group known as the Essenes that brought through Christ.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, that's interesting because, I, as I told you, I had not known that these women were also born through divine birth, through parthenogenesis, but it is interesting because I also don't know that it's necessary for it to have been through divine birth, but it does make sense that a mother would pass that down. Then Patois, he wrote in his article about the Ojibwa ceremony, a tribe, a Native American tribe.
Yeah.
And yeah. In their tribe, they would invite a woman to go through fast, to go through shamanic states, to go through trance, in order for her to conceive a child. And there was a lot of preparation for her to be able to bring the spirit in. There are a lot of examples of divine birth throughout history and even in herstory. I like to separate it because I do think that there's a time shift in which things became a little bit more masculine dominated, and that's the history. And the perspectives tend to be different in history, but there is, they say Buddha was born of divine birth, that Yeshua obviously was born of Jesus, was born of divine birth. And at the same time, there is documentation that the ancient Egyptian practices, that in ancient Egypt, and especially under the sect of Hathor, and partially the cult of Isis, that was very well known within their sect. I know that in the cult of Isis and Hathor, sacred sexual practices and sexual energetics was very well known within the priestess rites. And then there was the highest priestess, who was also trained in how to do the divine birth practices. And for me, that also makes sense. It was interesting because I want to say what I commented to you. We were talking a little bit, Carrie and I were talking a little bit before this radio show, about my thoughts, because as I was listening to Margaret Reed's description of it, it sounded to me like the way to divine birth was almost like, it sounded a little puritanical to me. It sounded a little, and maybe that's not the right word, so excuse me, but Puritan kind of, without sex. how do I put this? It's like, because they weren't having sex with a man, it was without sex. And for me, I thought, well, how the hell are you going to bring life into your body without the orgasmic energy? To me, that just makes sense, especially being as a spiritual sexual educator, just as you are a spiritual sexual educator, it is that orgasmic energy that opens the portal for spirit to merge with body. That is that merger process. And so instead of a woman using her sexual energy to merge with another human, she is cycling that within her. She's going into the ecstatic trance state, using and heightening that energy. And yes. Then, since yes. She has the ability to go between the worlds, because she's a priestess, that is her ability, she can then call in divine spirit to merge, asking the masculine and the feminine of all things to merge within her body to conceive a child. I think it would need to be her ability to generate that ecstasy, and then also to call in spirit energy as she goes between the worlds to call in that life. I was also reading, and I don't know. Oh, let me look. I don't know where I read it. Sorry, I wrote some notes, so I was trying to find it again. But it was saying that at the moment of conception, there is a bright light, like a spark that happens when a sperm enters an egg, which is
that
spirit entering matter. And I do believe that the woman embodying matter, she is opening up to divine spirit. That's kind of the same thing of saying if her body is a feminine, that it is that spirit that is the masculine principle coming together to merge. Or you could say, and this is what it says in the Magdalene manuscript, that Mary Magdalene, it's not Mary Magdalene, the Virgin Mary, what she did was she was such a high priestess in the rites of Isis that she was able to hold the vessel for the masculine and feminine energies to converge within her as that vessel. But even so, when they come together, it is that spark. It's also that orgasmic energy, which then creates life.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Aurora. I mean, you know and I know that when you stand in the awakened Shakti energy and become the vessel for the sexual energy, that ecstatic channel that you hold open, you know, I wonder and I question, is that masculine or feminine, or is it oneness? Is it all that is that we open up to, and is this not available to the masculine as well to feel this energy the same as a woman does? Obviously, he can't conceive in his body in the same way, but I don't know if you can call this energy feminine or masculine or both, but obviously it is all that is, which is what creation is. And whether we split it down the middle and half and half, I don't know. I don't know that that's what this is being called for here. But, you know, I think that what Marguerite talks about too is that the evidence within, you know, Greek history is what she references a lot because it was written down. But prior to that, she's gone way into, you know, prehistory times to rock art 20,000 years ago, things like that, which demonstrate that this has been happening not only, you know, in written history, but long, long time that this has been happening, and it's been imaged through rock art and various other forms of images of women and women, two women coming out of the birth of a one egg. And it still doesn't include any real representation of the masculine within that. So I don't know. I don't know about that. And I really don't know what part the masculine energy plays in that. And I don't know if we will know around this whole conception idea, whether or not it's necessary, valid, or whether masculine and feminine even come into the equation around this. What do you think?
I actually do believe in the merger of opposites to create life. I do believe in, just as spirit enters body to create a child, that masculine and feminine come together to merge, to create. And I like to see that the man, the sperm, is just an embodiment of male spirit. So whether you are accessing it through divinity and bringing in that masculine energy to create life, or it is encapsulated in a male sperm, either way, that is spirit essence, that's masculine spirit essence, and the woman is holding the body feminine essence. And that's how I see it. I like to see that if women are a portal to the world, the men are the key to the door. And I think the goddess, which is something that you and I reference a lot, the goddess energy, she is here to harmonize masculine and feminine energies. I do believe that. I don't believe that it is geared towards an all-female representation, although there is. I know that Dampo Patois also wrote about this, that there is background that in ancient times it may have been just woman to woman, that it could have been that was the women are designed to literally just give birth on their own, or it was at one time. I don't know, but I do prescribe to the fact that it is these two sides coming together. It has been documented throughout time, throughout the mythologies as such. And going back to women being able to conceive on their own, there was a study done by a researcher that said that, here, I'll read it. It says the paraovarium of the female reproductive organs can produce living spermatozoa capable of impregnating eggs in the same body, causing them to develop without male fertilization. Okay. These women become pregnant with their hymen intact. Now, I wish I didn't just read it to you like that, but my point is that there has been research done in modern times, because I want to bring this to modern times, of women coming in to doctors with their hymens completely intact and bodies starting to produce children. It said that it's called their paraovarium, can produce living spermatozoa. Like, the body could actually create that same substance that's in or similar to the sperm itself. That's really interesting. And it's something that we definitely have to know.
Yeah, absolutely. This talks about too is the fact that women who were parthenogenically bringing forth children were only bringing forth female children, and that had been the case all the way along until we get to the more recent times, that there was only women giving birth to women. And that speaks too to the fact that all embryos, when they are fertilized within the womb, start out life as female for the first 3 or 4 months or something. I don't know the exact amounts of time, but definitely then they change into the masculine. So, yes, I did read that part about women being able to self-fertilize themselves. And, you know, the body is capable of doing amazing things that we don't know the extent of. And the knowledge of how to actually do divine birth or virgin birth has been lost to us as the information degraded over time, and the cult of the goddess and matriarchal societies gave way to the more patriarchal ways of birthing, and the masculine didn't want to see women just giving birth to women. They wanted to claim those births for the masculine as well. And Margarita again talks about how this started to be degraded as the male gods or the male kings, etc., would take the virgin priestesses and rape them and actually inseminate them so that they could claim that any child born through this process and was masculine was a divinely born leader or avatar or holy person. And so, you know, over time we saw this degrading and the knowledge being lost as it continued into the more patriarchal times and prehistory information was lost. So
Absolutely. And I do say, because you just asked me, does it need to be masculine and feminine coming together? And you were making your point. And now I do understand what you were saying, too, because, you know, the universe is infinite. Yes, I do believe in masculine and feminine energies coming together as an ability to create life. But at the same time, exactly, we're already seeing women self-conceiving. And you were saying that women would self-conceive and create another woman, and this has been documented. So to me, it's been documented throughout time. It's just another example of how potent our womb really is. Our womb is immensely powerful, and it's important for us to know that.
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wish there were similar areas within the masculine body that we could, you know, call upon to, you know, bring up as a comparison to this type of thing, because I'm sure there are instances too with the masculine body that are quite incredible that we are just not, you know, made aware of today. I wish someone could help us with that.
I agree. I think that this is, it's not to belittle. I do believe that, you know, man's seed is full of its chi and full of spirit and full of life force. But then again, a woman's womb is connected to the everything. And so, yes, like, your seed is powerful, but a woman's womb is everything. You know what I mean? It's everything. It's amazing. It creates life. It develops a child.
It connects.
It's connected to all the rhythms. It is connected to every woman. You spend a lot of time with another woman, you're going to bleed with that woman. You know, we are connected to everything and everyone, to our womb space.
Yes.
And that's just something, again, for us men and women to really respect and to nurture. As I work with so many women who have menses that hurt and are so disconnected from their womb space that they don't trust anything about it at this point. You know, it's drugs, it's C-sections, it's just this massive disconnect. It's not being able to speak what we desire in sex. It is not even the ability to sit down and journal with our womb, to ask it questions, to be able to
tap into.
Just a full disconnection, and I think that this is part of it. I believe that when women reconnect to their womb, they will realign with their power. And when women realign with their power, it will allow men to step into their sacred masculine essence. And then we can really start harmonizing this world. This is why we're speaking up. And it is so interesting that you and I, Carrie, a lot of what we speak about is on the taboo side. And that's what we were saying, embrace the taboo to liberate you. But it's just this amazing face to look at when we can feel it. We're like, this is going to heal the world, you know? But it's amazing to live in a time in which what's going to heal the world is so the opposite of everything that we've been told.
And everything that's happening, you know, too. It's just like, we are so sidelined. We're so far from mainstream in terms of the way we think and the information that we're sharing. And, you know, what you're doing and what I'm doing is still reaching women who really are already aligned, women and men who are already aligned with an alternative awareness and a broader construct from which to live their lives. When you know, we're not even touching the main areas of awareness around these subject matters, and especially even around a goddess awareness and culture and divinity and those types of subject matters. We're not even touching the massive percentage of awareness that we need to start to bring around some forms of shift and change in the way that we are living. So, I mean, we're just sitting on the fringes and we're tapping away at that huge, big boulder of unawareness. So, you know, thank you and thank me that we're doing this stuff, but we're sharing this knowledge so that it can go out and that each individual that hears us can keep spreading this awareness, and not even just the information, but the reclaiming and the owning of the connection to their bodies so that they are tapping into their own divinity and their own wisdom and their own knowingness that continues to just keep sharing this wisdom, and it goes out and out and out. So we should come back to divine birth for a bit and, you know, continue. What else do you want to share about this? What else do you think you can share?
I wanted to go back to your question that we actually spoke about before this call, which was, do you believe that you need to be a priestess in modern day in order to have a divine birth? You know, we're going to bring it back to modern day. Can a woman of this modern day have self-conception? And again, there have been modern day examples. There's a woman who came to our red tent who believes, she's convinced that she self-conceives, and she feels that her daughter is an exact replicate of her. But my question is, you know, since we said that, or it's been documented that the women who were the ones to self-conceive were highly trained initiates, and often came from a lineage of women who birthed this way, are we at a time in which you have to be a priestess to be there? So I have my opinion. What's your opinion?
Look, I don't believe that they need to be priestesses in a lineage, but I do believe that they need to be hugely connected into their own bodies and grounded and having some sort of oracular abilities or able to create trance states or connecting in to a higher level of consciousness, you know, to have an awareness, but then again, you're going to tell me that this person had none of those things. You know, I think if you were doing it consciously and trying to achieve this, then those are the states. I mean, that article that we both read, that gentleman's name that we can't pronounce, he's talking about this particular woman who really, she cleansed her body and purified her body, creating high alkaline states. I mean, I can't remember her journey terribly in detail, but she had an intention, or she was in contact with higher consciousness, which was guiding her to cleanse herself and to bring her body into these really alkaline states through what she was eating, and then moving into just, I think, a liquid diet and things like that, so that she put her body in a state where this conception could happen. And in fact, she did give birth to a child, and she I think the child died within the first 2 or 3 years of this divine state. So this is a modern day, I think it happened in the 70s that this birth took place. So I mean, yes, it's possible. She was not connected to any lineage or other sacred knowledge or anything. And even the Marguerite also gives instances of a Hindu woman that's come to her only in recent times to claim that she gave divine birth to a child with the help of her husband, and he was living away or overseas for many years, and that this conception happened through the two of them making a conscious connection through their third eye. And she had given birth to a child normally, but this true connecting energetically with her husband, and she conceived through his connection to her psychically through the third eye. So, I mean, they are two modern day expressions of it. So tell me more about this woman that you know of, Aurora, that's come to you.
Oh, we had a woman come to the Red Tent who's actually from the Dianic Wiccan tradition, which is much more the women-centered tradition. And she brought up at the Red Tent her daughter and the fact that her daughter is just an exact replica. And she didn't really go into detail about her experience, though I know she's very tapped in lady. But that was just interesting, her bringing it up, the power of our womb. And I want to go back to the question of where are we at in modern times? Because a lot of my work has to do with the reemergence of the priestess wisdom and of the goddess wisdom. And although this wisdom has been here, you know, it has been passed down, we've been talking about this for a very long time. I think this is the first time in history, in her story, in our story, that it's starting to come to the forefront. It's getting to this higher awareness. And beyond that, there's also more women who are remembering. And what I mean by that, there are more women who are becoming more psychic, more connected. They are awakening to these priestess gifts, these gifts, as we were talking about, that these women were trained in ancient Egypt, and, you know, throughout time, these initiates, there's a reemergence of women embodying that energy. So what that means for us is that these women are awakening to the ability and have the ability to actually have divine birth. The same way, well, I'm one of them. So I'm going to talk about me. I'm one of them. I knew when I was awakened, I was told that there would be many of us who were just awakened. And what happens is, it's literally like our cells open, and within it, we receive codes that allow us, that give us information to know how to do these things. And so what I believe, honestly, I think that we are a really interesting time in history. I think we have a huge emergence in consciousness happening. And I know that I am a reflection of everyone. And I am excited that in this call that we spoke in these higher consciousness terms throughout the whole time, because I think you can't really escape with something like divine birth or parthenogenesis. Like, let's get real, you know? It's a magical craft. And for us to speak about this, the reason we know it is because we're magical people. And so I do believe that we're going to see more and more people tapped into this wisdom. Does it mean that now women are going to be, like, they're going to want to have divine birth? Does that mean that, you know, there's going to be a shift in that perspective? I don't think so, because I really do very strongly hold on to the harmony between the masculine and feminine in that space. But women will know their power, and that's clear. You know, women will know their power. So,
look, I agree with you. You have to ask also, too, what is the purpose of women having, you know, parthenogenic and divine births? Because historically it's always been about bringing in this higher consciousness child or being onto the planet that comes in to serve a particular purpose. And, you know, I don't think women are just going to naturally start having divine births without some other reason for it to happen. I mean, sure, it's going to be possible, and women awakening to this are going to be connecting into their bodies, and as you said, you know, streaming codes of consciousness. That's what happens in acts of sacred sex and Eros Gamos, exactly what it was used for in the past. It is to bring through high level information, consciousness, awareness, things that are necessary to shift the awareness of the planet at different times throughout history. The fact that we're talking about it means that I believe that is necessary and being called for again on the planet at this time to bring through these beings that, like Christ in his time, can change our awareness around the way we are doing things. So I think that there is a calling for this to happen again at this time. Is it going to be Sally down the road who's got three kids and a mortgage? I don't think so, but it's going to be those women who are specifically born and are, you know, here to bring through various levels of awareness. And whether or not that's through birthing a child, you and I are here to bring through different information and to change consciousness as well. We're not doing it through birthing children. Hey, who knows? You know, they also said that Sarah from the Bible was also gifted with divine birth in her 70s or however old she was, so that she could bring through a sacred being. So maybe it's going to start happening, Aurora. Let's hope so. I mean, how incredible and how amazing. But you know, let's just wait and see what's going to happen. It's definitely possible. That's my thoughts about it.
I agree. I think it's definitely possible too. And we are in an interesting time in history for sure. So as everything shifts,
and maybe you are. Maybe you are going to bring through a divine birth. Is that in the cards for you? On the cards?
I hope I have it through union with my male partner. I'm still working on the sacred sex, enjoying my body, loving having sex with my male partner, friends, and loving the idea of me co-creating with him. However, who knows? Who knows? They say that the children that we have that come through specifically from spirit in that way are the Jesus Christ of the world. So if I am to bear the next Jesus Christ, I will say okay. You know?
Then we have the cult of Aurora, huh?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever she wants. Whatever she wants, I'm just here in her service. So...
Yeah.
I would love to say that we are almost at the end of our hour and we're going to conclude our show. It was an amazing episode. Carrie and I also did an episode on the Sacred Whore, and that show is also on blogtalkradio.com/rredtent. So, and on that episode, we definitely went deep into Eros Gamos. We went deep into spiritual sexual practices. We spoke about a lot, and we had a lot of listeners on that call. If you're interested in that call, please listen in. It was an amazing show. We're so excited for you to be listening to us now. And Carrie, if anyone has any questions for you or wants to learn more about your work, how can they contact you?
I think my webpage is the easiest place. They can contact me through there, and that's just goddessofsacredsex.com. You can find me there, and my Facebook page has a big following as well, and that's Goddess of Sacred Sex on Facebook. So they can find me through either of those two avenues, and I would ask that listeners actually ask us what they would like us to talk about so that we can create more of these blog talk radio sessions answering the questions that you have most pressing that you would like answers to as well.
I'd love that. I think that would be great. I'd love people to write in around what it is that they would like to talk about. And I can't believe you just said the cult of Aurora. I just had that ringing through my head, like the cult of Isis, the cult of Aurora. I was like, I got this like, yeah, but it's so funny. but I think that also brings out this space of like, who am I to be so awesome that I'm a goddess anyway? But that was interesting, right, when you said that, like, huh. Anyway, that's another show. We'll go back into who am I to be so powerful on the next episode. If anyone would like to contact me, I am Aurora. I am the founder of rredtent.com, and this, of course, is Our Red Tent Radio, and our mission is for every woman's story to be heard. I am a woman's mysteries educator, I am a Red Tent facilitator and host. We are doing Red Tent facilitator trainings because we want, as Deanna Lamb, who is another educator and teacher, she says, a Red Tent in every neighborhood. And I am also on that boat to have women all over host circles for women to come together and tell their stories. But more than that, to be able to learn the mysteries, to know their connection to the moon cycle, and to start this rebuilding of the world. So if you'd like to contact me, you can contact me at rredtent@gmail.com, and I am Aurora Ray on Facebook. Thank you very much, and we are going to say goodbye, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Aurora. Goodbye, everyone. Blessed be.